Let's take a break from all that yappity-yak for a story with Grandpappy Spuds now, shall we? Here we go. The Night the Air Conspired, a tale of gas, existentialism, and the unraveling of reality. Gary had always prided himself on his digestive system, which he described as industrial grade during first dates and job interviews. Tonight's culinary experiment, a triple bean chili layered with ghost pepper marmalade chased by a six-pack of quantum foam lager, their tagline. It's basically a science experiment, tested the boundaries of his gastrointestinal bravado. By midnight, the first ominous rumble escaped his midsection. It wasn't just audible, it was seismic. The pullout couch trembled beneath him as if trying to escape its fate. Genevieve, his long-suffering roommate and reluctant couchmate due to the power outage, glared at him through the flickering light of a half-melted candle. "Did you feel that?" she whispered. Gary waved dismissively, smirking. "Just a fluke." But it wasn't. By 12:07 a.m., the flukes had evolved into what could only be described as a low-pressure system localized entirely within Gary. Each release carried notes of sulfur, despair, and something Genevieve could only identify as wet pennies. The air grew heavy, oppressive even. "Gary," she said through gritted teeth, "it's like you're farting the concept of regret." When the air fought back. At 1 a.m., things took a turn. Genevieve awoke to a strange pulsating hum. She sat up, sniffing cautiously, and realized the air itself seemed alive. Gary was fast asleep, but his farts were not. They lingered, curling and writhing like sentient smoke tendrils. One drifted toward Genevieve, pausing briefly near her nose before retreating, as if insulted. "Gary," she hissed, shaking him awake. "Your ass is self-aware?" Gary blinked. "What? I'm serious. It's like your farts are plotting something." Gary squinted at the smoky tendrils. "You're overreacting. They're just dissipating artistically." But even as he said it, one particularly robust cloud coiled around his glass of water, tipping it over in what could only be described as spite. Descent into the absurd. By 3 a.m., the situation had spiraled completely out of control. The air in the living room had grown thick, shimmering like heat waves over asphalt. Genevieve could barely breathe without tasting the faint tang of fermented beans. Meanwhile, Gary's emissions were no longer bound by mere physics. One floated past her ear and whispered, "Run." Gary, for his part, was thrilled. "This is incredible," he said, observing the dancing vapor clouds like a proud parent at a school recital. "My chilies, artisanal." "Artisanal?" Genevieve snapped, clutching a makeshift gas mask she constructed from a colander and dryer sheets. "Gary, your ass just gave smell a personality disorder." The breaking point. At 4:30 a.m., the living room reached critical mass. The air grew so dense that the pull-out couch sank 3 inches into the shag carpet. The ceiling fan slowed, as if overwhelmed by the sheer viscosity of Gary's emissions. And then, with an audible pop, reality itself seemed to warp. Gary and Genevieve stared in horror as a tiny portal opened above the coffee table. Out stepped a raccoon in a hazmat suit. "Finally," it said, voice muffled but unmistakably annoyed. "We've been tracking this anomaly for weeks." "Anomaly?" Gary asked, perplexed. "Your flatulence," the raccoon replied, snapping on a pair of latex gloves. "It's destabilizing the multiverse." Genevieve threw up her hands. "See? I told you your farts were alive." "Not alive," the raccoon clarified, pulling out a glowing containment jar. "But definitely sentient and angry." you've essentially birthed a species of interdimensional gas wraiths. Congratulations, I guess. The resolution. Sort of. By sunrise, the raccoons had captured most of the sentient farts, sealing them in jars marked Caution Chronoflatulence. They left Gary with strict instructions to avoid legumes, carbonated beverages, and any chili recipe that could summon unknowable horrors. But something had changed in Genevieve. In the days that followed, she found herself missing the chaos. Her morning coffee tasted flat without the faint hum of dimensional rifts. She began microwaving bowls of Gary's forbidden chili in secret just to catch a whiff of the forbidden air. One evening, as Gary lounged on the now slightly warped pull-out couch, Genevieve sat beside him, bowl in hand. "Gary," she said, staring at the wall, "do you think the air remembers us?" Gary didn't answer. He was too busy sketching a prototype for Turbo Chili 2.0. Outside, the raccoons watched the house from the shadows, whispering amongst themselves. They knew it was only a matter of time before the anomaly returned.